permet mia, permet mister, I think from hell, it's the moment, by your plan, and I am bound, Lord, grant my feet on higher ground, I want to stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Let me ask you a question. How often do you give thanks to the Lord? Well, you may say, well, I give thanks at mealtime. I thank God for the food that I have. I pray to him, and I thank him for saving my soul. Well, you know, the Bible, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, tells us that we're to give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always, what? Paul said, for you. Now, how many times have you prayed for someone else today? Have you prayed for someone to have good health today? Have you prayed for someone that they would be able to make it through the day? Have you prayed for someone today that possibly they would trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Well, we, as saved people, we need to give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and pray for other individuals. We pray and we thank God for what he's done for us, and then we pray for other individuals. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. We're to pray for each other. We're to help each other through this life, save people. When a person gets saved, it's the best life that there ever was and ever will be. But it's not a bed of roses. We still have problems as saved people in this life, but thank God we're going to see one day the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the song says it'll be worth it all when we see the Lord. It's going to be worth it all when we're together as saved people in heaven, and it's going to be worth it all when we see those individuals we've witnessed to and they've come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's going to be worth it all when we see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us how long and what we're to do and everything. And what are we to pray for? In everything give thanks, it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's concerning you as a saved person. It's concerning me as a saved person that I give thanks for everything. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us, concerning you, concerning me. So we need to be praying always, thanking God and thanking God for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and just letting them know that we're praying for them. We need to tell people that we're praying for them, and letting them know that they're not alone, that God loves them, and so do we. Well, now we've been in the book of Ephesians quite a while now, but we're not finished yet. We've left chapter 4, we're in chapter 5 now, and as we look in chapter 5, we're in verse 2, where it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It's something that smells good in the nostrils of God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, and we've read that and we've gone over that, verse 1 uses the word vocation. The vocation or our position. Now, we're in chapter 5, but I want you to think of vocation. It's our position, what we are privileged to do as saved people. And according to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it calls us to be holy. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, that's our calling, our heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Did you know you had a profession in Jesus Christ? You have a profession. Now, first of all, you professed him as your Lord and Savior, but you have a profession. He's the priest of our profession. And we have professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we need to tell others about him. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then again, we've read this verse, 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or behavior or speech, however you want to put that. It's actually the way we behave. And we see this word love coming in once again, to walk in love, as Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5 says. And this is a continuation of the information that we've had to help the saved person to stay in a right relationship with other believers and with our Heavenly Father. So many times in local churches, people, they let the old human flesh creep in and they start having problems. They have a problem with another believer. In other words, it just seems to happen. That's the old devil getting in the way, trying to stop God's work. Once again, God's work is not going to be stopped. It's going to continue on until God is finished doing what he's doing. And the devil's not going to stop God. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 tells us that when we have a difficult time within the local church, when someone is causing us a problem, it says, walk in love. We need to still love. Remember, this chapter that we're looking at now, chapter 5 and verse 2, and it's seen throughout all the Word of God, the word love. Ephesians 5, 2 says, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We're to help other individuals, and we're to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ when a difficult time happens, when it takes place within the local church and causes trouble within that local church. We need to pray, oh God, would you help my brothers and sisters in Christ? Draw us together, Lord, because we're one in you. We, Lord, want to serve you, and I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that each one of us, Lord, would be willing to do what you would have us to do. And especially, Lord, may we all walk in love as you've told us to do, as the commandment has gone forth. You notice that in that verse, chapter 5 and verse 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. You see, the love of the Father is passed to the Son. The Father loved the Son, and he sent his Son into this world. And in turn, the love of the Son, that's Jesus Christ, of course, has been passed on to us. How has the Son's love been passed on to us? Well, it says there in that verse, given himself for us. You see, the wording here is that Christ actually gave himself up. In other words, namely, to death for us. He gave himself up to death for us. That is, in our behalf. In our stead, instead of us dying for sin, because of sin, he died for us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We sometimes forget that Jesus Christ, I know this is hard to believe, but sometimes we forget that he died for us, that he died for me personally, he died for you personally. Sometimes we just go along, we'll say, with the flow. We just suddenly don't realize anymore. We just kind of put it in the back of our minds that, but Christ gave himself for me. He gave himself for you personally. It's a personal thing. It's a personal salvation. I cannot save anyone, and neither can you. But Jesus Christ can save anyone. Jesus Christ is the one who does the saving. We're the one who tells others about his loving care, his loving of wanting them to know him as Lord and Savior. Well, Jesus Christ has given himself for us. He gave himself for mankind that all people could be saved if they would simply take him at his word and do what he wants them to do, and that is simply to receive the free gift of salvation. Well, Jesus Christ offered himself. And the offerer and the offering that was offered were one and the same, Jesus Christ. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down his life. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, I know that we've talked a lot about love as we've been going through this chapter and through other chapters of Ephesians. I know we've mentioned love over and over again, but why would that be? I'll tell you why it is, because God is love. God is total love. He loves everybody. He loves people of this world, and he wants everyone to know his Son as Lord and Savior. Well, I want you to notice something about Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the offering and the sacrifice. Notice the offering. It expresses generally that Christ was presenting himself to the Father as the representative, undertaking the cause of the whole of our lost human race. In Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, it says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I," now here's Jesus. This is speaking of Jesus. "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Well, the sacrifice Christ made for us includes his life of obedience, and it does not exclude his offering of his body for us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "By the which will we are sanctified," set apart, in other words, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. He's not going to die again. He's not going to offer himself on the cross of Calvary again. It's been one time, and that's it. He offered himself for mankind one time. Now, you notice the word sacrifice. A sacrifice, in other words, of having a life of obedience, would normally seem to be, in a limited sense, an unbloody offering. In other words, a person gives their life, and not necessarily as we think of Christ giving his life on the cross of Calvary, but we think of an individual just dedicating their life, giving their life as an offering to the Lord. And we need to be aware of the fact that Christ's sacrifice refers to his death for us, exclusively, for you and I, for me personally. Christ, in reference to Psalm 40 and verse 6, and that's in reference to that, it says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required." But we see that this is represented as the opposite type of all the offerings of the law. He had a prepared body. His prepared body was made of a woman, and his body came at the right time. The Bible says, fullness of time. But when the fullness of time was come, the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians 4:4. Psalm 40 and verse 6. Sacrifice and offering. Now I've read this. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required." And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 says the same thing. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Jesus Christ was prepared. He was prepared to give his life as he walked this earth. He suffered quite a bit while he was in this life, walking on this earth. But then there came a time when he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood that anyone in this world who would trust him as Lord and Savior, it was made possible for that individual who trusts him to go to heaven, to have everlasting life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.